Miss an interview? Listen to it now at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank. You work hard for your business, so should your bank. Talk to a First Bank business specialist today. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC.
Well, you're nailing the bumper music again. You're listening to Terry Wickstrom Outdoors on 104.3 The Fan. And after being severely chastised during the break by my wife and producer, Karen, I have to correct something I said last. Nate's seminar at Sun Power Sports on elk hunting is October 1st. I kind of babbled some dates that were wrong, and she busted in the studio and kind of undressed me about it, so I had to correct that. Anyway, let's go right to the phones. We always have a good time here. And we're going to talk about one of my favorite places in the state, and that's Pueblo Reservoir. And joining us is Noel Diamond. Good morning, Noel.
Good morning.
How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing good. And actually, I recently got married, so I have a different last name now.
And what would that be? Let's tell everybody.
My new last name is Zant.
All right. Well, congratulations.
So Thank you.
All right. So anyway, you're down at Pueblo Reservoir, and there's lots of activity. I know there's an event coming up you want to talk about, but let's kind of fill people in. There's always new people to the state. Why don't you tell them where Pueblo Reservoir State Park is located and kind of describe the park?
So Pueblo Reservoir is located in Pueblo, Colorado. Basically, it's a diversity hotspot. We see tons of visiting raptors that come through here, visiting insects. We have tons of really cool geology, so we get lots of researchers that come out here to check it out. It's also a fishing hotspot. Not only do we have the reservoir, we also have the Arkansas River that flows through. So tons of fly fishermen come out here and lake fishermen.
And, of course, you have campgrounds. How many campsites do you know? There's a number, a lot of campsites out there.
Yeah, we have over 400 campsites, and that includes electric and non-electric.
And one of the neat things about Pueblo is just about everything goes on year-round down there. You have campsites open year-round, and there's your boat ramps stay open year-round. I think you're the only lake or one of the few that has boat access year-round, weather permitting, in Colorado. So that's also good. Speaking of boating, what are your water levels like? You know, the last few years, Pueblo's been high, and we had a great water year, so I'm assuming the water levels are very good yet. Is that the case?
Yeah, and actually, since we've had good water year since 2015, I checked it yesterday. We're about 4869 in elevation right now, and about in a week, we'll probably drop another foot.
But that's still very, very high for you guys, and really good water, boat ramp access. That makes for a very large body of water. Have you heard, there's lots of activities. We're going to get into the trails and some of the other activities in a minute because we don't talk about those enough. But let's touch on the fishing real quick. It is one of the premier fisheries in the state, both the Arkansas River below the dam and the lake itself. Have you heard much about the fishing?
Yeah, fishing's been doing pretty good, and actually with the temperatures dropping now, it's going to get even better. We're seeing less activity out on the water as well, which is also good, so we'll probably start seeing more fish.
And any particular species they seem to be showing up?
Honestly, we have a wide variety. If you're fishing the river, you're mostly going to find trout. If you're fishing the lake, anywhere from bass, we get some walleye out there, wiper.
All right. Well, you got an event coming up. Let's talk about that.
On September 28th, there's two kind of things that coincide with each other. So we have Bike Your Park Day, and it's also National Public Lands Day.
And so what will be happening at the park on those days?
So we'll have Still City Cycle Club. They're going to be coming out. They're biking from Pueblo to the park. I'm not sure how many miles they're biking, but they're coming to do a service project. So they'll be cleaning up the Rock Canyon area, picking up trash, stuff like that, just to give back to the community and to the parks. National Public Lands Day is kind of a day that where they want to connect people to nature through service. And so the Adventure Cycling Association is the one who kind of puts on that bike to your park day.
Now, is that open to people to join in?
Yeah, definitely. Usually we get a lot of those cycling clubs that contact me and say, hey, we want to do a service project with our state park or our national park. I believe National Public Lands Day, so that's September 28th, national parks do offer free entry. Unfortunately, state parks haven't jumped on the free entry yet, but national parks do have that.
Well, technically, most bikers don't pay an entry when they bike into the park anyway, do they?
That's correct. So with most state parks, bicyclists get in free. There are a select few of state parks where a bicyclist does actually have to pay a small fee. I think El Dorado Canyon is one of those state parks.
Now, when you're coming out to Pueblo, I've talked a lot about the fishing down there. It's a really great place. In fact, I have people want to know more. Go to my just Google the Denver Post. You can read some of my articles. But Pueblo also has a large landmass. We talk about biking and stuff. The state park isn't just a lake. You have a lot of land and trails, don't you?
That's correct. Yeah, this is a big multi-use park. One of the largest state parks in Colorado, and shoot, we see people from all over coming to visit. Actually, our bike trails are a big hit. They're right behind our Arkansas Point campground. We also have the Southern Colorado Trail Builders who actually help volunteer their time and to maintain those trails. They've created this really awesome map that has color-coded by how hard it is. So they have immediate, intermediate, and difficult. So it's pretty awesome.
And how would somebody find access to that map?
So I don't think the map is online. You might be able to find it on the Southern Colorado Trail Builders Facebook page, maybe. And then you can always visit our visitor center. Usually park rangers keep them in their vehicle. So if you see a park ranger, might be able to give you one. I always keep a stack with me because people are always asking for them.
And then what about other activities on the land? You probably get some small game hunting out there, too.
Yeah, so actually around this time, we do get a lot of people calling in about reports of, oh, I saw someone with a gun. So I always try to make it a point to let people know, yeah, this is a multi-use park. We do allow hunting in designated areas. We only allow shotgun and archery, though, and that's really because we have so many trails out here and stuff like that. But hunting is allowed. We do have a hunting map, which you can find online, and again, at the visitor center.
All right. Well, we've got to go, but if people want more information on your Clean the Park and Bike Day, is that on your Facebook or webpage?
Yeah. Yeah, that should be on our Facebook page.
All right. Well, Noel, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you.
You bet. That's Noel from Pueblo State Park. Now, I'll tell you another thing right now. Pueblo, what's going to be going on fishing-wise down there? We're going to get into fall fishing down there. I wrote I wrote an article for Walleye Insider magazine in the 90s, and I wrote some chapters in the critical concept book for walleyes for in fishermen in the books. And I used Pueblo as one of my examples. You may have heard Austin and I talking about earlier about how prolific the jigging bite can be down there and how predictable. Now, no fishing is guaranteed, but when the shad start getting stressed, now the white lake is high, the water temperatures will take a while, but when those water temperatures start dropping rapidly, the shad will get stressed, and those shad will start to die and flutter down. The walleyes, the catfish, the smallmouth bass, the crappies are going to gather under those balls of shad and wipers, of course, and you find those and use a jigging spoon. A lot of guys now are using jigging wraps and blade baits. If I use the jigging spoon, you can probably find that article in Fisherman's Archives. And it would be just a phenomenal bite. And those fish got so tuned on to that jigging spoon bite. Tom Bruno and I were out there with a third party. And we could see the fish down below on the depth finder. We could see the bait. We took a shiner about the same size as those bait fish, pinned it on a weight and a hook and put it down in those fish. They continued to hit the spoons and paid no attention to the shiner. That's how focused they get on those fluttering bait fish. So it's going to happen at a lot of our lakes around here. I'll do more on my Facebook page, Terry Wickstrom Outdoors. So follow Terry Wickstrom Outdoors. We'll get you tuned into that. We'll take a quick time out, and we got more outdoors coming on Terry Wickstrom Outdoors on 104.3 The Fan.
You work hard for your business. So should we. That's why First Bank offers commercial real estate loans, business lines of credit, and online cash management solutions. With tools and services designed to make your business run easier, your day could have less this and more this. Visit eFirstBank.com/business to learn more. First Bank, business banking for good. Member FDIC. First
Bank. Banking for good.